Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor to be able to bow down before you, to sense your presence and to come close to you, allowing you allow us, in fact, you invite us. So lead us now in these moments together, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue on in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, a glorious chapter. As you know, we had the fire coming down on Mount Carmel last week, and Baal was unable to deliver, because Baal doesn't exist except in the minds of some of the people. So we then move on now to the drought ending, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want to begin just by singing an old praise song, He is Able, because the Lord is able to accomplish what concerns me today. So let's sing along. But He is able. Last time we had the face-off between the prophets of Baal and Eliah or Elijah, and his prayer in verse 36 of chapter 18 was, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you. And, of course, then the fire fell, and then we had this response in verse 39. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. So we've had this beautiful victory because of their blasphemy and because of keeping the Mosaic law. Elijah killed all 450 of these false prophets. And then we have in verse 41 a very interesting kind of change in topic. Now, if we go back to the very beginning of this chapter, verse 1, we have the promise of God that the drought would end. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So God had promised him that if he presented himself to Ahab, that it would rain. So that should do it, right? So let's just sit down with our umbrella and wait for the rain, right? Well, we see it doesn't quite work that way. Verse 41, Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink. For there is a voice. It says sound here. It's translated sound. But in verse 26, it says, But there was no voice when they were shouting out for Baal. So there was no voice of the abundance of rain. I don't see how there could have been a sound of the rain at that point other than spiritually the Lord speaking to Elijah, because the rain is far off at this point. But at any rate, he's telling Ahab to go up and eat and drink. Apparently they had, in the frenzy of all that day, nobody had time to eat or anything. And they were apparently down at the bottom having executed the prophets. And so he says, go up and eat. And it's believed that they had probably the king's tents and stuff up on a plateau near the top of the hill, but not clear up to the top of the hill, because to the top of the hill you've got to go a little distance further. So he says, go up, eat and drink. There is the sound or voice of abundance of rain. So Ahab seems to be very willing at this point. He didn't interfere with any of the prophets of Baal's slaughter. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and there he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. So he's in a very unusual position. He's not face down. He's not standing with his arms lifted up, but he's kneeling and he bowing down, and he puts his face all the way down to his knees. A very humble position for sure. And now he tells his servant, tradition has it that this is the widow of Zarephath's son, whom he raised from the dead. Others say it even turns out to be the prophet Jonah. I don't know who it is. The Bible just says his servant. So it says, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. Now, there is a peak up there. You have to climb up about 40 feet to get to the top, actually, to see the Mediterranean, because you can't see it from kind of the plateau part of the top of Mount Carmel there. Whatever it is, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. This is interesting, isn't it? How many times did he pray with the prophets of Baal? Once. Why does he pray here seven times when God already promised that it was going to rain? Well, we don't know. All we know is that God wants us to have a close relationship with Him, and we keep praying until we receive an answer. Now, we do have this number seven occurring often in the book. You know, the prophet Naaman, or the Naaman guy who wanted to be healed, he had a dip seven times. We had Joshua walking around the city of Jericho seven times. We have sneezing in the next book of Elisha, sneezed seven times to raise this one kid from the dead. And we have 7777, and it just brought to mind an article that I had read some time ago about 7 days of prayer during World War II in Great Britain, and the miracles that each one of those 7 days of prayer wrought. And it is just unbelievable if you look at it. Of course, this isn't really well published because now people don't think much of that. But this was really amazing. It says, King George VI called the nation to prayer in March 27, 1940. Miracle took place during the week following. You've heard of Dunkirk, how 338,000 men were trapped there with their backs to the wall and would have been executed. And then what happened, there was a whole week of quiet on that tempestuous English Channel, and they ended up with thousands of boats. Everybody put their boat into available, And they thought they would be lucky to get 25,000, and so they got them all off except just 13,000, I think it was. So that was the first miracle. The second miracle, on the next day of prayer, this was Sunday, August 11th, 1940. Now, this is in time of extraordinary desperation. Hitler was starting to bomb. He was on his way, and Great Britain had nothing pretty much but broomsticks, and they had no real defense. They had their entire army at Dunkirk, in a sense. They didn't have anything back home. And so the Lord got 338,000 of those men back. Second day of prayer on Sunday, August 11, there was a day of the youth call to prayer, and all the youth went to prayer, and it was an amazing thing. Britain could not know that within the week that followed that the overweight Nazi airfield Marshal Goering had picked that day to commence, the day after that, to commence the first stage of the Battle of Britain with the bombing. It failed. The relatively small British force of Spitfires and Hurricanes shot down 180 Nazi bombers over southeast England. The rate of interception excelled by far anything that could be expected or explained by radar or air commander. The next day of prayer was only a month later. Calling for another day of prayer so soon showed how desperate Parliament knew the situation to be. The answer again was immediate, and it was during the period that people in the streets began to see angels in the sky. A more determined Nazi air attack was made by sending 5 fighter planes to accomplish every single bomber during the week following. Yet against all odds, as many as 185 Nazi planes were shot down. Then we see that Goering, the Nazi commander, had expected success and anticipation. Hitler had prepared invasion barges at Bremen, Germany. But there was a terrific storm in the channel, and the North Sea blew away those invasion barges. The result was the invasion of Britain was postponed. It ended up being postponed 4 times. And then they had another National Day of Prayer, and there was a great earthquake, created waves with terrific gales, which blew Nazi ships 80 miles off course. That same week, Yugoslavia, which had surrendered to Hitler, changed its mind and organized resistance. Ethiopia was liberated from Mussolini, and so on and so on. So there were 7 days of prayer during that time. And it so impacted the nation that after the war, they made Christian education compulsory in all the schools. Now, you go there today, you can't preach Christ in any of the schools. So it's kind of like the face-off at the prophets of Baal here. Apparently, the whole nation, like Israel, turned to the Lord. But then as we see, as they go on downstream, it didn't last. They went right back into sin again, right? Because that's kind of the way we are. We have these great mountaintop experiences, and then we go right back to the way we were. But we see here that he prayed 7 times. Persevering prayer is so important, and that's one of the things I think we get out of this study. We can't put God in a formula box. The last time I prayed, I only prayed once, and that was it, Elijah might say. God answered this great prayer, great powerful prayer. Fire came down from heaven. And he promised me it's going to rain, but I will pray just because it hasn't rained yet. Well, somehow he was given that faith and ability to continue to pray, and he prayed 7 times. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you." He not only is going to have to get down Mount Carmel, but he's going to have to get across the river down at the bottom there before it rises from all this rain. And so Elijah is telling him, prepare. So apparently he had his chariots up there, because you don't hook up your chariots. It says he prepared his chariots. Prepare your chariot and go down. So he must have had his chariots up there. So get them harnessed up and get ready to go. And it happened in the meantime, the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. How far is Jezreel? Well, it depends on who you talk to. It's anywhere from 12 miles to 25 miles, so somewhere in there. And I imagine there's one distance that's point to point, and there's another distance when you go through the curvy roads and so forth that they would have had. Those are paths or whatever they were. But we see now he rides away and goes to Jezreel. And then we see another supernatural thing here. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, And he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of the city. So he has, I'll say, a 15 to 18 mile run ahead of him. And he's going to outrun these horses. That's pretty much. And remember, he hadn't eaten all day. I mean, he's running on fumes in a sense, but he's not, because the Lord strengthened him. Why he stopped at the gate, we don't know, except it was his practice never to go into cities. He was always a loner. You know, his faith had been demonstrated in the brook Cherith. His faith had been demonstrated with the widow of Zarephath. And he was a faithful man. And so now in the public thing on the mountain, the Lord was faithful. And we see now he's going to run ahead. And you would think, man, if I just had the faith of Elijah. Just had the faith of Elijah. Wow, but I'm such a fraidy cat, you know. I get scared so easily. Well, stand by next week. We'll see. Elijah has a fraidy cat side as well, kind of unexplainable, but it also is very comforting, isn't it? Because it shows us how much we need the Lord. We tend at times to think when he is really doing great things and something we're involved with that we get it, but we really don't, do we? It's all him, isn't it? Well, let's pray this morning for those things that the Lord would put on our heart. Well, just what the Lord puts on our heart. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the miracle of the 7 days of prayer during World War II, when the nation of Great Britain was in such desperation, and ourselves as well. Lord, we see when we're in great desperation, how we turn to you with such fervor and such intensity. But when times are good, we back off and think that I don't really need to seek the Lord today. I don't have any big problems today. Lord, we just need you. We need you every day, every hour. Lead us in this time of prayer now, Lord.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior brought to me. How great the Lord, how great the Lord. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Father, truly you are great, and Lord, help us to honor you with every breath this day and to worship you, to show more love to you and more love to one another as led by your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be obedient to your word, Lord. guide and direct each one here to be usable today, whatever you would have to work through us. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.